clicked inside his mind as they rose higher and higher. Assuming whoever had attacked Mark was still around would be the safest course of action.
No, just across the street from his house. The big tree.
He didn't have to explain. He knew Jill had rifled through all his memories of the area. Thankfully, he'd been to Finn's house recently and had scouted the area accordingly.
Just let me go once we're over it. I'll land easily enough. Find somewhere nearby to land and join me.
Of course, Jill said. Pushing off his human disguise, he let himself once more become the boogeyman. Being trapped in a small room with a man that slapped desks into toothpicks wasn't what he was good at. Hunting from the shadows and taking the initiative was. Jill flapped hard, pushing them high, only for her to tuck her wings in and lean forward, her wings only sliding out enough to keep her angle of attack as she dove forward. Gus didn't know how he felt being held like this, but it was better than trying to get to their location on foot, not to mention significantly faster. Soon enough, they were over Finn's neighborhood. From here, he could see two repair trucks in front of Mark's house.
They went in more discreetly this time. I wonder why.
Going to let you go. We're just above the tree, Jill said.
Do it!
Jill let him go, and Gus began to fall. Holding his arms and legs out, Gus did his best to slow his fall, but he knew this would still hurt. Slamming into the thinner branches at the edge, he activated his camouflage and let the tree do what he hoped it would. To be fair, Jill had thankfully gotten him rather close. The fall wasn't as terrible as it could have been, and the amount of momentum he had to bleed off wasn't that bad. Hitting the ground, he was off at a dash, his clawed fingers and toes digging into the turf, asphalt, and then a repair truck. Using it as a platform, Gus launched himself at the second-floor bedroom window. He needed information, and his father had definitely taught him how to get that. Blasting through the glass and sending it into the room, Gus landed atop the bed. No one was here, but it was obvious something had happened here. The door was hanging brokenly on a hinge. The sheets were thrown around, and a pool of blood was visible on the ground.
No!
Gus could feel fear flowing through the house now. His entrance had alerted everyone in the home to a new disturbance. Moving out of the room quickly, Gus leapt for the ceiling. It had visible beams running across the top of the vaulted living room. It gave Gus something nice to sink his talons into. Turning his head, he watched as several men in work clothes came into the room with SMGs raised. There were six that he could see right now, but he felt like there was a seventh who was actively working on something else in Finn's study. Three broke off from the group and started up the stairs. The other three remained in the living room. Guns drawn, trying to look in every direction they could. Singling out one in the back to land on, Gus put his attention on the other two. He knew he could handle two of them mentally at the same time, but the third would be beyond him.
Dad must have hurt himself in his head to do what he did.
It was an idle thought that triggered his rage and brought it bubbling up once more, drowning out his fear of the situation. These soldiers were quite likely sent by the same organization that had come for his parents, the same group that had killed Vanessa and his dad. Letting go of his hold on the beam as the three members of the team who'd gone upstairs entered the bedroom, Gus dropped quickly on his target. The other two he smashed to the ground with a psychic blast. He tore their minds from them, shaking their thoughts and memories around like a rat catcher would with a kill, flinging mental bits and pieces of them around in every direction as he sought information. Finn had been captured after killing two people. Mark was still on the run, but there were teams in pursuit of him.
Yes!
Landing with a wide grin on the third man, Gus slid his claws into the man's throat and scooped it out, in the same way a child would pull Play-Doh from a can. Grabbing the SMG with his left hand, Gus lifted it and put a round into the head of each of the men he'd psychically lobotomized. There was no reason to leave behind any evidence of what he'd done. Storming back the way they'd come, the three upstairs rushed to the overlook. Except Gus was already halfway up the stairs before they'd even started to move. One of the three had decided to cover the stairs, giving Gus an easy time of pulling his mind apart. Throwing the man's consciousness through a mental wood chipper, he sorted through everything. They were sent to capture Finn and Mark and to interrogate them about Gus, to learn why three kill teams were sent out and not a single person returned. why there was no evidence of them ever having even arrived at the location, other than several 911 alerts. Satisfied, Gus let the man collapse, his mind a ruin that would never recover. Lifting the SMG he'd stolen, Gus pulled the trigger twice for two short bursts. He cut into the two men through their center mass and downed them both. They collapsed to the ground, where they twitched and squirmed. Walking up to the one he'd interrogated, he shot him in the head with a single trigger pull. Then he went and finished off the other two with a single headshot each. Behind him, he felt a sudden blast of fear. Fear of a boogeyman that had just killed an entire team. Spinning, Gus realized he was already too late. He'd forgotten about the seventh man. Standing there in front of him was that very man. Except his hands were held up in front of himself, and a pale, slender arm was wrapped around his throat. Standing behind him was someone Gus didn't expect to see at all. Dunyasha, looking fit and healthy, from her luxurious black hair to her full figure. Unexpectedly, she didn't have only one eye, however. She had two. Though one was clearly covered in a glamour and appeared to be a magical artifact she'd put into the socket, as if it were a prosthetic eye.
"You done with him?"
asked the blood mage vampire with a lovely smile. Gus slipped into the man's head like a sledgehammer through glass, ransacking him of his memories, and dumped him. Slumping to the ground, the man fell in an unmoving heap as soon as she released him and stepped back. Lifting the SMG, Gus fired a round into the man's head, his brain exploding out the back and onto the floor.
"You look, very good,"
Gus said in a low growl, unable to help himself. He felt far more honest as a boogeyman.
"Oh, well, thank you, Gus. I owe it all to you. I never would have thought just drinking once from you would, well, fix everything, but it did. Not a blemish on me,"
Dunyasha said, gesturing toward herself.
"Which means this is all yours, right?"
"Yeah, it's mine. You're mine,"
Gus agreed, his predatory mind accepting that simple fact as was his due.
"Gotta get Finn. Why are you here?"
Gus started heading down the stairs. He needed to get outside so Jill could pick him up. They had a moving truck to track down that was heading out of town with Finn. The council was planning to briefly interrogate her, then eliminate her. It was expected for her to have very little information about Gus. Mark was their primary target.
"For you, of course. Mark sent me an alert," Dunyasha said. "Part of it was to meet you and provide assistance. From our previous talks, that meant you'd come here first."
"Mark trusted you a great deal then,"
said Gus, moving to the front of the house. To have explained to her the bug-out plans that he'd made with Gus without telling him meant he trusted Dunyasha explicitly.
I'm a changed woman. I only want one thing. You and your blood, Gus. I'm terribly addicted, even after just one taste,"
Dunyasha said in a teasing tone.
"As to Mark, he and I worked closely together. I was the only person he could trust in the Fed before and after my attack, other than Finn."
"True. I was gone."
"I'm ready. I've got a route planned,"
Jill announced. He knew she was standing outside on the sidewalk. They'd just take off from there and go after Finn.
"Can you keep up?"
Gus asked.
"Of course I can. I'm a blood mage. Though, is there any chance you could feed me? I'm living off fake blood at the moment. Even the idea of tasting someone else's blood after yours feels like cheating on you."
"Huh. Chloe said something very similar the other day. How curious. I wonder if it's a vampire thing,"
Jill asked curiously.
"I bet it's a part of their feeding instincts. I'd like to study it."
"Yes, after we get Finn and find out what's going on with Mark,"
said Gus.
"You can drink your fill."
"From your neck," Dunyasha added.
"Fine,
Gus said, shoving open Finn's front door. Moving at a jog straight toward Jill, he knew she was ready. Crouching down partially, the impubus's wings spread out.
Who's she?
Dunyasha asked.
I'm his impubus, Jill. A pleasure to meet you, Dunyasha. By the way, you're much lovelier in person than in his memories. And I really like the artifact you're using as your eye. It actually makes your hair darker and your skin whiter, and it's quite lovely,
Jill said, wrapping Gus up in a hug as he got close. Then she snapped her wings down and powered them up into the air. Pumping her wings, she drove straight up into the sky, slowly rotating backward as she oriented them.
Oh, I love flying so much,
Jill gushed as she rolled them over. Holding her wings out, they glided onward. They had a bit of flying to do to reach the location where Finn was being taken. Though, if they could find the truck on the road, it'd be all the better. They needed to get to Mark as soon as this was done. Surprisingly, Dunyasha appeared next to them, flying through the air on what looked like a disc made out of swirling blood. She stood on it with an imperious air that fit her. Her arms were folded in front of her, her dark hair flying out behind her. Looking over at him, she gave him a grin.
They didn't need their blood anymore,
she shouted over the wind as it tore at them. Then she looked ahead again. Chapter 30. Rattling the Cage.
That must be it,
Dunyasha shouted. Turning away from Jill's neck, which was all he could really see without straining his own, Gus looked at the ground. Down below them, a moving truck was winding its way through hills and ravines.
I think so, too,
Jill agreed, having to yell just as loud to be heard.
We should follow it to its final location.
Agreed,
replied Dunyasha. Looking at the vampire, Gus felt very good about the fact that she looked so healthy, as if nothing had happened to her at all. Other than her clearly unnatural eye, that was. There didn't seem to be a single other hint of the terrible attack on her.
She did say it cured her completely without a single blemish. Given what I experienced from feeding on you, I imagine her own feeding was just as powerful,
guessed Jill.
And I'm sorry for dragging you out of bed last night. But we didn't wake Mel up or anything. It went well.
It's fine. I'm getting used to it.
Do you think that maybe one of us should go ahead?
Shouted Dunyasha.
Maybe. Here, take Gus. I'll stay with the truck. You go inspect the building,
answered Jill. She gave her wings a powerful pump and then did an odd little spin around the front of Dunyasha, neatly depositing Gus up against her front. Somewhat shocked, Dunyasha and Gus both stared at each other from less than a few inches apart. Thankfully, he could get his feet placed relatively firmly on Dunyasha's blood disc. If he had to be honest, this was a bit easier than clinging to Jill. She had, distracting qualities to her.
Okay,
Dunyasha said, her arms having quickly locked around Gus's middle. Tilting forward, the disc began to dip down away from the height they were at.
I can see people. They don't look normal. Like military.
Gus nodded his head at that. That wasn't surprising, if this was the correct location. Folding his arms around Dunyasha, he called up his camouflage and spun it around the two of them.
Put us on the roof,
Gus said, trying to be heard, but not to shout in her ear.
Don't worry. They won't see us.
I never had a chance against you,
Dunyasha said as they continued to descend.
No, you didn't. But you were so intelligent, so brave, and so interesting, I couldn't resist reaching out to you first. That and your Fed profile picture really showed off your natural good looks. And let's not even talk about how cunning you were,
Gus admitted, somewhat regretting how honest he felt as a boogeyman. The normal fears that everyone had in regards to the opposite sex were decidedly less for him when he wasn't in his human disguise. Dunyasha's hands pressed tighter into his back, and then the disc suddenly pulled up, coming to a complete stop.
It sloped. Watch your feet,
Dunyasha murmured a second before she dismissed the disc. Both of them got their feet placed quickly, though Gus had an easier time of it, digging the talon on his heel into the tile and locking him in place. He ended up rather grateful for having done that, as Dunyasha nearly lost her balance, causing him to hold her upright. Checking her shoes, she shifted her weight around, then nodded her head at Gus and gave him a smirk.
Good now, she whispered.
Releasing the blood mage, Gus began to passively feed on the fear all around him. As far as he could sense, there were at least 8 people here. His view had been terrible as they approached, though, and he had no idea what they looked like, or even what they were equipped with. Slowly, carefully, he began to inch his way to the edge of the roof. With any luck, he could get a peek down and take a look at what they were going to have to deal with. Reaching the end of the tiles, he found what could be nothing less than a soldier. They wore full body armor, wielding a battle rifle, had a helmet on, and even had a comm system with an earpiece. Watching, Gus couldn't find anything else that stood out to him. This was almost definitely where the truck was heading.
Chill, this is probably it.
All right, definitely seems that way. I think this truck is only 10 or so minutes out. You might want to slip inside and find a spot to wait, said Jill.
Good point.
Gus didn't need to turn around to know that Dunyasha was practically standing on his heels. As soon as he'd started moving, she started to slip out of his camouflage bubble. She'd likely gotten as close as she could to him in order to stay inside it. Slowly turning around, he put his hand on her shoulder and leaned in close.
We're going to get inside and find a place to lie low, preferably where they're going to take Finn,
Gus explained in a whisper.
I'm hungry,
Dunyasha replied as the sun barely began to crest over the horizon.
You promised. The sun is starting to make my skin itch through the spell as well. I haven't eaten since yesterday. Mark's message made me rush.
Fine. You can feed when we post up. Now come on,
Gus murmured. Reaching down, he got his arms underneath Dunyasha's rear end and pivoted. Stepping off the roof, he landed with a soft pat. It was enough to cause the nearby soldier to look his way. Staring at Gus's position for several seconds, the man slowly looked back ahead after finding nothing there. Dunyasha had laid her head on his shoulder, her lips resting on his neck. She wasn't doing anything at the moment, but he could tell she was practically torturing herself. Making sure he had a good hold on Dunyasha, Gus moved around the perimeter of the ugly square building. There were no windows, one door, and nothing else about it at all. An ugly box that boded no good for anyone at all. The door itself had 2 guards on either side of it, causing Gus to pause in front of it and consider what to do.
I can glamour the door shut. Keep it quiet when you open it, said Dunyasha,
her lips practically in his ear. Nodding his head, he put his hand on the doorknob. Dunyasha's spell was slow, slow and almost imperceptible. It was an untied glamour, which meant she was actively holding it, giving it a better look and feel. Even Gus had to really look at it to see the true door. Turning the handle, he carefully pulled the door open. Neither guard seemed to notice. Stepping into the building, Gus carefully closed the door behind them. He was in a large, open room. There was nothing here at all, other than several ceiling lights, a table to one side with 4 chairs around it, and at the center of the room was a single chair with a very large bloodstain on the ground under it, as if more than a few people had bled out right here. No one was inside at the moment. Walking over to a corner, Gus leaned up against it, putting his back to it.
May I?
Asked Dunyasha in a soft voice, her breath washing in a warm wave over his neck.
Yeah, just keep it quiet and make sure you lick it until it heals. Can't afford to leave anything behind. Don't pull too much. I'm gonna need to be at full abilities here,
commanded Gus.
And if you could...
The sharp pinch of fangs in his neck cut him off. The pain fell off instantly and was replaced by a warm, comfortable feeling as her saliva did its thing. Dunyasha let out a low, lusty moan, pulling at his shoulders as she swallowed loudly.
If you can't eat quietly,
Gus warned,
you won't eat.
Shifting in his arms, Dunyasha seemed to get more comfortable. She then patted his shoulder. Nuzzling against him a bit more, she continued to drink, though much more gently this time. Thankfully, without the moaning and gulping.
We're here,
Jill said sometime later. Gus didn't know how long it had been, but it felt like somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes.
She all done?
Easing his head to the side, he looked down at Dunyasha on his shoulder. She was holding him much more loosely now. She wasn't drinking from him anymore, thankfully. She'd finished a short while ago. Now she was just incessantly licking at his neck.
Yeah, she's just making sure the wound is sealed.
That was very informative. I never realized there were so many intricacies to vampirism and feeding,
Jill remarked.
I look forward to exploring the mentality that goes behind it with both Chloe and Dunyasha.
Uh-huh.
I can see why you fantasized about her repeatedly, though I'm also gratified that your attention has shifted toward me since we met, instead of her, Trish, or Melody,
Jill admitted.
Not a casual conversation to have, Jill.
Of course it is. Sex isn't embarrassing. Neither is talking about it. With what we'll be doing, we should... Oh, they're pulling a woman out. A group of them are coming to the...
With a hard clack, the door opened and 3 men came inside. They were dressed similarly to the men Gus had killed at Finn's house. 2 men came in dragging a woman between the two of them. Holding her by the elbows, her feet skidded along the ground. Slamming her down into the chair, Gus got his first look at her. It was Finn. She had short, curly brown hair and steel gray eyes. She was dressed in nightwear, looking like the beautiful siren Gus would expect. Not to mention, she still looked like she had the build to hold up to hand-to-hand combat for a few rounds. One of her eyes was starting to swell shut, and a faint trickle of blood had dried at the corner of her mouth. There was also a strange device around her throat that almost looked like a collar.
Went out fighting. Good. I imagine the collar is blocking her from singing. This'll be quick,
said a man walking in through the open door. It was closed behind him after every other soldier left the room.
You tell me what you know about Gustavus Hellstrom, his parents, and his wives, then you die. The way you die depends on what you tell me and how quickly you do it.
Dunyasha slipped off Gus's lap and crouched down low to the ground next to him. Jill was on the other side of the room in the opposite corner. Finn laughed at that, her normal melodic voice coming out in a strange, modulated sound. The caller was clearly regulating her voice.
What I know about him? I know you're dead. He's going to kill you. I'm fairly certain he'll kill you before you can kill me. Other than that, everything I know about him, I wouldn't tell you for anything in the world.
Smiling at the man, Finn sat there, defiant, proud, and amused.
We can make you cooperate,
said the man, walking over to Finn. Casually, he inspected Finn's face, tilting his head from one side to the other.
I'm sure you could. I'm also sure that would make Gus kill you even more violently,
Finn said. Then she took in a shuddering breath. Fear was flowing out of her despite her bravado, fear of the situation she was in.
And Gus, I'd really appreciate it if you could just end this now. I'd really like to go find Mark and go home. I know your godson would agree if he could...
Before she could finish speaking, Gus had leapt forward, landing atop the man. Gus stared down into his face. Pouring horror magic into the slimy thing, Gus began pulling out the man's mind, one memory and thought at a time, stripping it all down to the bits and pieces he needed and discarding the rest, leaving nothing behind that would let the man be anything more than a gibbering idiot. What fear had been there from Finn was gone now, as if it had never been. He knew Jill was already working at getting Finn to her feet while Dunyasha was removing the device around her neck. Pulling at the thoughts until there was nothing remaining of the information Gus needed, he finally released the man's mind. Then Gus drove his elbow into the man's neck, crushing his windpipe with a pop. Getting to his feet, Gus gave himself a shake and turned to look at Finn, only to have the woman slam into him at full speed, holding him tightly.
Mark said you'd come. He swore it up and down, that you'd never let any harm come to me or him, that you'd gone through far worse for him in the past,
Finn said softly, clutching Gus's t-shirt. Her voice once again had the normal, extremely melodic tone he expected from her.
I doubted him. Doubted you. I shouldn't have, but I did. I'm so sorry, Gus. I never should have doubted you.
Feeling very awkward, Gus patted Finn gently on the back.
It's all right. We'll get you squared away. Still have to go get Mark,
Gus grumbled.
Even if he is a tool bag, he's my tool bag.
Guards outside?
Dunyasha asked. Both her natural eye and her artifact eye seemed to be glowing at the moment.
Yes, but I already have a fair idea of where we need to go,
said Gus.
They caught Mark and they're in the middle of transporting him. They're not that far from here yet, but we'll need to be quick. We can't stick around for long.
Stepping away from him, Finn sniffled once and then nodded her head.
That's fine. Just clear the guards for me and I can handle myself, Finn declared.
The woman who had clawed her way up the Fed ladder was rapidly returning.
Done my fair share of ugly things in ugly places. This'll be cake in comparison.
Great. Just, find somewhere to lay low. In fact, you should link up with Mel. She can get you somewhere safe,
said Gus. Reaching to his pocket, he pulled out his phone. Or tried to. At some point, while they were flying, he'd apparently lost it.
Lost my cell,
Gus said, looking around the room.
They broke mine, Finn said.
Forgot mine on my nightstand,
apologized Jill.
Waiting on a new one. It got crushed on an assignment Director Dresch sent me on,
Dunyasha said with a chuckle. As if realizing for the first time that the vampire was here, Finn stared at Dunyasha.
Oh, that's right, it did, she murmured.
Then her eyes flicked to Gus and understanding blossomed in her eyes.
That's fine. I'll call Mel once I get to the city. I can find a phone, I'm sure. Lark LLC is a publicly listed number and not that hard to get a hold of.
Great,
Gus said, nodding his head to the door.
Jill, go take care of them real quick.
Not a problem,
Jill said with a laugh. Putting her arms over her head, she stretched. When she got near the door, she simply faded away from view, her camouflage spell moving her beyond their ability to see. Gus turned to look at Dunyasha, then glanced at Finn.
Sorry, one second,
Gus muttered, setting a hand to Dunyasha's arm. Guiding her off to the corner of the room, he wasn't sure how to ask what he wanted to.
What?
Dunyasha asked with a smirk. It looked like she had a number of comments and questions she wanted to throw at him, but she somehow reined it in.
I need to go after Mark. You don't have to,
said Gus, jumping right in.
But, I'd feel better with you there. I've run across a couple of blood mages in my time, and they were always formidable. You're the strongest I've ever met.
Dunyasha clicked her tongue and gave her hair a toss, though with how short it was, it didn't go far. Smiling up at him, she looked amused.
I'll come with you, but I want to feed from you, privately, personally, for at least a year. Your blood is amazing,
Dunyasha said.
That's what I want. That's my price. I won't negotiate.
Fine.
Gus agreed with a dismissive wave of his hand. He didn't really care. Chloe fed from him constantly. Letting Dunyasha do it as well wasn't going to bother him.
Let's get going. We've got some ground to cover, and I really don't want Mark alone with them if I can help it. They're not going to play very nice.
Good thing we don't play nice either.
Dunyasha reminded him. The door swung open again, and Jill stood in the doorway.
I'll sit out here, though I think we might do ourselves a favor by taking the truck. We can keep an eye on Finn until we get in range,
Jill suggested.
That, and from what I can tell, Mark is heading for the other side of the state, but still en route, right?
That's right,
Gus confirmed, Finn and Dunyasha following him outside. Not far off were the bodies of the soldiers who'd been out here. Gus wasn't sure what Jill had done to them, but they looked quite dead.
From what I saw, there something like 30 minutes out with Mark. If we're lucky, we can catch them on the freeway before they get where they're going.
I think we can make it to the location they're going to in about 10 minutes by air,
mused Jill.
Give or take, I'm still getting used to thinking of things by flying distance. Definitely should be able to catch them on the road.
I don't think you should go with me, Finn argued. I can handle the truck. I've driven bigger. Please, just go get my husband. Please.
All right, you heard the lady,
Dunyasha said.
Let's get moving. I'll hold on to Gus on my disc. We can probably go faster that way. It doesn't require any more or less effort on my part with one or two people. I can't imagine your wings are the same way.
That's very fair,
Jill agreed.
Off we go, then.
Gus stepped up to Dunyasha and wrapped an arm around her hips.
Whatever gets us there quicker,
he said. Seconds later, the three of them were shooting off into the sky once again, chasing down Mark and his captors. Gus had a sick feeling in his guts, even as they rushed onward. Chapter 31. Set Loose.
Really glad I positioned myself so I can see this time.
I don't know. I rather enjoyed holding you like I did,
countered Jill.
Not to mention, it was nice to feel how it affected you. A succubus does love to feel appreciated, even if my imp side felt rather mortified.
You know what? You're actually worse than Mal, or even Trish.
Of course I am. They both enjoy sex. I feed on it,
Jill agreed.
Trish, as deep into sex as she is, and despite having her own version of sex magic, doesn't need it. I do. I consider myself fortunate that my succubus side was dormant until we met.
Grimacing, Gus continued to watch the freeway below them as he hung on to Dunyasha. He had no idea if they'd be able to find the truck, but it was better than rushing straight toward the end goal. It wasn't as if they were wasting time, either.
Still no truck,
reported Jill to his unasked question.
And I promise, the moment I see anything, I'll let you know. It's still somewhere between you and I.
Nodding his head, Gus was glad to have Jill in his head at the moment. After parting ways with Finn, they had decided to send Jill ahead while he and Dunyasha trailed behind. This plan was letting them cover a lot more ground.
That looks like the truck they had Finn in,
Dunyasha said loudly, pointing downward. Following the line of her arm, Gus could see a moving truck. It was traveling in the right direction, and did indeed have the same company logo emblazoned on the side. It was a company Gus had never heard of previously, but that didn't actually mean anything. He wasn't in the habit of memorizing moving companies.
Mark is supposedly in one just like it,
Gus shouted as his eyes shifted away from the truck. Around the vehicle were 10 black sedans. They were clearly driving in a square formation with the moving truck bracketed between them.
Escort vehicles makes it seem likely.
Dunyasha nodded her head and then began to shift her weight forward. The disc of blood they rode dipped downward. Gus had kept up the camouflage magic since they'd gotten airborne. If Dunyasha could get them close enough, they could check out the escort cars and the driver of the truck. The sound of traffic gradually became louder as they got lower and lower. Getting all the way down to the street level, Gus was able to bend over and peer straight into the windshield of one of the escort vehicles. They were wearing military-grade equipment, had an SMG on their lap, and a comm system. The passenger had a shortened rifle, but similar gear. The two people in the back seat were all the same as well, from what Gus could see.
This is it,
Gus said, standing back up and looking at Dunyasha.
How do we want to do this?
I'll drop you off on the truck, then I'll ease back and wait to engage. You do your thing. If we're lucky, you can...
A blast of magical energy pulsed out in every direction from one of the escort vehicles, almost what Gus would imagine a sonar ping would be like. It wasn't directional, nor was it aimed at him and Dunyasha. This was someone figuratively banging on a pot with a wooden spoon, just to see if anyone was there or lurking around. Like a boogeyman.
I felt that,
Dunyasha said, looking at Gus with more than a little nervousness.
So did
One of the escort vehicle's windows went down and a man with a gun appeared. It was aimed at Gus and Dunyasha. Before the bullets could fly, Dunyasha had sent them off in some strange aerobatic maneuver, almost like a lateral roll where they went from where they started, inverted themselves, came across the freeway, and ended right side up on the other side of the vehicle where the gunman had appeared. Taking this as an opportunity, Gus let go of Dunyasha and leapt for the nearest escort vehicle. Unfortunately, physics didn't work very well with him. The amount of force he put into Dunyasha's disc sent her backward and rapidly drifting away from him, while Gus didn't go very far at all. He landed atop some civilian's hood. The driver promptly swerved to the left and then braked hard, which launched Gus forward. Spinning in the air, even as he was flung free, Gus was able to recover his balance. The only valid place to land, however, was on another person's vehicle. The first car slammed into this one just as Gus landed. Realizing he had almost no time, he bunched himself up and leapt again straight for the back of the rearmost escort vehicle. Quite a few windows were open now on those very same vehicles. SMGs and rifles were pointed his way. Smashing through the rear windshield glass, the whole thing becoming little better than tiny fragments, Gus landed in the back seat with two armed individuals. Grabbing the gun of the one on his left, Gus flipped it over and used his thumb to fire it backwards into the man on his right. Holding down the trigger to empty the magazine as he kept the weapon trapped, Gus kept moving.
No seatbelt.
Acting on his thought, Gus reached out and grabbed the door handle next to the man he'd disarmed. Getting his left foot up, he kicked the man with it, launching him straight out the door. The magazine on the weapon he'd been firing was emptied in 3 seconds. All 30 rounds were dumped into the now leaky piece of meat next to him. Snatching the pistol off the dying man's holster, Gus raised it and put one shot in the back of the head of the passenger in the front seat. Shifting the weapon over, he did the same to the driver, then snatched the wheel with his left hand. Lifting the muzzle of the weapon, Gus fired a round through the windshield. Clambering through the center of the car, he punched the windshield out where he'd shot it, the whole thing crumbling apart just like the rear one had. As he climbed out onto the hood, the car began to slowly drift to the left. Digging the talons of his feet into the metal, he coiled up and jumped to the nearest black sedan. Landing with a thump and denting the crap out of the hood, Gus raised the pistol and fired several times into the driver's face. Turning, he once more made a powerful jump, this time for the moving truck itself. Landing on the back of it, he sunk his claws into the metal door with his left hand. He kept a hold of the pistol with his right and looked around. Both sedans he'd dealt with were wrecked or falling back quickly. Dunyasha zipped over the third sedan at the back of the formation just as multiple gunmen had all started to aim for Gus. They hadn't let their bullets fly as of yet, likely afraid to shoot the contents of the truck. That was all the delay Dunyasha needed, however. Holding her left hand out as she passed over them, the men all began to scream. Blood shot out of their ears, eyes, noses, and mouths. Then, from the very pores of their skin. Jerking suddenly to one side, the car skidded out, smacked into another car, and then began to roll, smashing from door to roof to door to wheels and back to the door again. Tumbling wildly, the car was clearly out of commission. Dunyasha pulled hard on her disc, sliding toward the left side of the moving truck, a ball of blood the size of a boulder floating along beside her. The door he was clinging to suddenly opened sideways, sending Gus outward toward the right side of the truck. The two sedans came into view in front of him. Thankfully, he'd inadvertently gotten the drop on them through the actions of another. Lifting the pistol, Gus began firing at the driver, trying to tag them through the window. By the fifth shot, he'd finally connected, which was demonstrated when the car suddenly slammed into the side of the moving truck and the front of the car went under the back wheels. The metal tearing impact nearly knocked Gus loose as he hung there on the door. Whoever was inside the truck wasn't so lucky, apparently. A scream was heard, followed by a thump, causing Gus to glance back the way they'd come. Someone in military fatigues had fallen out of the truck and was bouncing along the roadway. Then the man was promptly hit by a car, getting sucked under the wheels right afterward. Not liking his position much, Gus clambered up the door and made it to the top of the moving truck. Dunyasha came into view, surfing along her disc while slamming the blood boulder down repeatedly into two different cars. She bashed one with it, only to whip it around and slam it into the other. In front of her, she held a dark red shield of blood. Up ahead, a third sedan was firing on her unendingly. Marking that as his target, Gus ran forward across the top of the moving truck and leapt for the car. Those on the right side of the car saw him coming and ducked back inside. Landing on the roof of the vehicle, Gus ended up crumpling it. The force of his impact dented it quite deeply. Scurrying forward, Gus dug his claws into the hood and tore it straight off the front of the car. Laying before him was an engine running at near full speed now. At some point, the sedans and the moving truck had started to speed up. Gus had no idea why there were no cars in front of him, but he didn't want to find out either. Not right now, at least. Swiping his claw across the wiring that led to the battery, Gus sliced through it neatly. Whipping his other hand across, he tore his fingers through several fast-spinning belts. A clang, followed by the car rapidly losing power, heralded the fact that Gus needed to get off this ride. Turning, he took a single step and then launched himself at the driver of the truck. Blasting through the windshield, he went feet first into the man's chest, crushing it violently. Unfortunately, he was also now stuck up to his ankles inside the man's torso. Sticking halfway out of the windshield, Gus casually kicked the dying man off, flinging him against the inside of the passenger door, shattering the glass and leaving the man partway out the window. Wriggling inside the truck, Gus managed to get himself into the seat and then looked towards the road ahead of him. Then, something slammed into the side of the truck and sent everything rocking up onto one set of wheels. Feeling his butthole pucker up and his entire body clench, Gus yanked on the wheel to try and get the truck back under control. No sooner than he felt like he was gaining control, someone hit the truck again and sent it tumbling onto its side. Grinding along just outside his window was the freeway. Doing his best to stay away from the window since it could bust at any moment, Gus gave up on the truck. Bracing his feet against the frame and dashboard, Gus climbed up toward the passenger door. The dying man was still hanging partway out the window. Grabbing him by the rear end, Gus shoved him out the window, then followed him out. He crouched atop the still skidding truck. Dunyasha was fighting with the last sedan on the road. A man was throwing spells up at her from where he sat in the car while defending against the Blood Mage's return attacks. Assuming she had control over that, Gus ran toward the end of the truck. Not bothering to mess with the door, Gus sunk his claws into the metal of the side and ripped it clear, making a hole for himself. Before anyone could react, he activated his camouflage and dropped inside. As soon as he hit the ground, he got low to the thin sheet metal wall as the truck kept bouncing and bumping along the freeway. There were three people here with weapons and one without. Jumping for the ceiling, Gus hooked his claws into the thin metal and rapidly crawled his way over to the three with the guns. As they were spending more time trying to keep their footing, they seemed less aware of the shafts of light approaching them. Each hole Gus left behind lit up the area more and more. Finding a wooden support, Gus braced feet on it, then dove forward at the closest soldier. The other two he slammed to the ground with a mental cage. Smashing both of his fists into the man's head like a crazed animal, Gus began to hammer fist the soldier in the face repeatedly, over and over. At the same time, he used nearly identical mental attacks on the other two, blasting their minds apart under unceasing blows of his psychic abilities, tearing out chunks of their memories, thoughts, and knowledge as he did so. With a sudden shudder, the truck came to a complete stop, breaking Gus from his bloody rampage. Moving quickly, he reached the fourth person, a man with a hood over his head, bound and trussed up at the wrist and ankle.
Mark!
Snatching off the hood, Gus felt terrible. There were a great many gunshot wounds in the man's chest. His captors hadn't taken very kindly to being attacked and had fired on him.
Hey, you're gonna be okay. We already grabbed Finn and...
Gus froze, staring down at the face of a dead man. It wasn't Mark. Whoever this was, the man was quite clearly dead, and also not Mark.
They suspected a mole? A psyche? Something or some way that Mark could have been tracked? Fuck!
There'd been no memories at all inside the two he had killed that had been helpful.
I don't know where to go or what to do. I've lost Mark.
We'll figure something out. I'm working on clearing this facility, but it's looking like a mock-up,
Jill said. From what he could see of her mind, she was systematically going from room to room, area to area, poking through people's minds, reading their fears, looking for a hint or sign of anything that could help. Everything was starting to look quite fake, though, set up and staged. Panting, Gus made it to the back of the truck and kicked open the door, slamming it to the ground. Ducking down under the second door, Gus popped back up in early morning daylight. Looking around, he couldn't see much that didn't appear like something out of an action movie. There were multiple car fires, wrecked cars in the distance, and a few bodies sprawled out on the ground. Dunyasha dropped down to the ground lightly nearby. In her left hand, she held up the mage, and her right hand still held all the blood she'd collected.
Are we done? She asked, peering at Gus.
Decoy. Wrong truck,
Gus admitted, looking at the mage squirming in Dunyasha's grasp. Before anything further could happen, Gus smashed a hole through the mage's mind. Instantly, he began draining the man of his memories. Anything that might help Gus figure out where Mark had been taken. Thankfully, this man did indeed know just enough. He'd been hired on as a merc to provide magical assistance on this mission. No one had known it was a decoy mission, except for the mage. Everyone else just assumed they were transporting a high-priority prisoner. His job was to kill whoever came for the decoy, which was why he wasn't inside the truck, where one might expect a heavy hitter to actually be. He'd also overheard where they were actually taking Mark. To be fair, the mage had overheard it on purpose, hoping to leverage the knowledge later into a bigger payout. And by overheard, what he really meant was magically inducing someone to tell him exactly what was going on, then wiping their memory of it. They'd taken Mark off-world hours ago, through a portal hidden away in the outskirts of the city of St. Anthony, in a small shack that was little better than a tool shed. No address had been stated, but it was apparently east along the freeway heading out, at a highway patrol station. It'd be tough to find it, but it was better than anything else they had. Grunting, Gus slammed at the man's mind, snuffing out what little of the man remained.
I know where we're going,
Gus said, looking back to Dunyasha. The blood mage was eyeing the very dead mage in her hand, now disdainfully. Dropping him to the ground, she then held out her hand to him. Half of her face was splattered in blood. Part of her clothes had singe marks on them, as if she'd been washed in flames, and it looked like she'd been shot at least once, though there was no evidence of the wound remaining.
Well, come on up, dearest Gus, Dunyasha said with a smile. We have work to do, don't we?
Grinning, Gus took her hand and stepped up onto her disc.
Going that way, Gus,
said Jill in an animated and excited tone in his mind. He got the impression she was flying toward the highway heading out. She could probably get there before them and start searching.
You need to feed?
Gus asked as Dunyasha lifted them up into the sky and he dropped his camouflage spell over them.
Really? You mean it? She asked, eyeing him.
Yes, you did a lot of work, and I'm pretty sure you were shot as well. Probably had the power heal that. I'm sure I can spare a sip or two,
Gus said. He knew he'd likely already replaced the blood he had lost to her. His regeneration was running on the higher end right now, given the sheer amount of fear bleeding off everyone. Not to mention, blood was easy to regenerate. It happened naturally.
Then, yes, please. In fact, can you fly us there while I take that drink? Just lean into it like it's a skateboard. You can go face first or side first, Dunyasha said, then turned slightly.
Gus felt everything shift as the disc responded to where he was on it rather than her. It only took him a few seconds to get the hang of it. It was more or less exactly what she'd said. Feeling more comfortable riding it like a skateboard, he turned until he had his side facing forward.
Oh, you have no idea how delicious you are, Dunyasha whispered, wrapping her arms around him tightly. I can see why Chloe is practically your blood slave. I don't mind becoming one either.
Leaning against him, Dunyasha bit down on his neck and began to feed, moaning loudly and swallowing hard. Every time she got a full mouthful, Dunyasha drank from him.
Whatever. Coming for you, Mark. Stay the fuck alive for me. Stay the fuck alive.
Chapter 32. Breaking In. Stepping off the disc, Gus found Jill standing next to a small shack. The door was wide open and nearly hanging by a single hinge alone. Decrepit didn't begin to describe the shack. Not far away was the only highway patrol station they'd encountered so far, which was depressing in its own way. If it wasn't here, he wasn't sure how far they would have to go. Or worse, if it didn't exist at all.
I honestly think this is it,
said Jill, and then motioned to the packed dirt in front of the shack.
That's a lot of footprints for a shack, isn't it?
Looking down, Gus found Jill was absolutely right. It was far too much traffic for a building in the middle of nowhere, not even including the fact that it was a shack.
I can feel something there, but it's almost too faint for me to be sure,
Dunyasha said, putting her hand up and dissolving the disc into the boulder of blood that floated along behind her. Walking up to the shack, Gus began to feel about with his magic and his senses. He'd often been able to pick up on magic, even long since closed portals. He felt it then, a speck of magic that was heavily obscured.
Too bad for them, I'm what I am.
Sinking a claw into the portal, Gus pulled downward. Tearing away from reality, the portal started to open.
Ah, I see it. I've got it, Dunyasha said, stepping in next to Gus.
Placing her hand next to the portal as Gus let his fall, she brought a small blob of blood over. No larger than a marble, it hung in the open space of the portal. Sounding like a rush of water, the blood ball expanded rapidly outward into an oval, forcing the portal into the same shape at the same time.
That'll remain stable for at least a day, Dunyasha said, looking at Gus.
Not waiting, he stepped through the portal and out the other side. If there was something on this side, he wanted to be the one who dealt with it. Except, there was nothing there. An empty field of what looked like corn.
The hell are we now?
Gus grumbled. He hated plane walking. Hated it with a good deal of passion.
I don't know, but the sun doesn't burn as badly here, Dunyasha said, stepping out of the portal next to him.
I'm glad you're in less pain, Yasha,
Jill said, leaning forward past Gus to look at the vampire.
Can I help in any way?
Frowning, Dunyasha looked at Jill. Searching her face for a few seconds, she shook her head slightly.
No, but, thanks for asking, Dunyasha said.
Of course, Yasha. You and me, we have to break in, right? So let's make this work as partners,
Jill said, grinning at the other woman. Staring at her for another second, Dunyasha suddenly grinned at her, her fangs showing.
You're right, Jill. You're right, agreed the vampire.
So, castle then?
Gus asked, looking at the large stone structure in the distance.
The one with the satellite dish on it? I mean, just a guess, but that seems pretty abnormal.
Oh, yes. That is rather strange, isn't it?
Asked Jill, looking in the same direction.
Or the fact that it's pointed toward the ground rather than the sky.
Must be a big open portal somewhere. Rather than cords and cables like what Sam does, they do it by satellite,
surmised Gus.
Seems kind of peculiar, Dunyasha murmured.
I'm sure they just said a wizard did it,
said Gus.
Or it's Ahat. Easier to camouflage the whole thing here off-world than trying to do it on-world. We've been picking those bases apart quite rapidly. These are likely the most secure bases they have right now. Much harder to track and find.
That makes sense, actually, Dunyasha agreed. How many people can do what you just did, I wonder? It can't be that high.
Feeling a frown forming on his face as Gus considered that, he realized that her question raised a sorely underexamined subject. How was the council opening all these portals, keeping them open, and maintaining them?
No idea. It's a really good question, though,
Gus replied and started walking toward the castle.
Especially given that we have no idea how the enemy is doing it and keeping them open,
Jill added.
Though it isn't our problem. Mel pulled us out of this debacle after what happened.
Whether Dunyasha knew it or not, Gus did not know. It didn't reflect either way in her face when he glanced over at her, but she could be hard to read at times for him.
I do like the eye, by the way,
Gus said.
Would look just as pretty with an eye patch, though.
I know, and I do have a nice one for when I'm not wearing my artifact, Dunyasha said in an offhand way. I have one that's quite lovely and simple, one that's a bit more menacing, and a few in pastel colors. I might as well turn it into an accessory if I have to wear one, right?
Speaking of the artifact, what is it? I'm curious.
Exiting the field, they found themselves on a dirt path that had clearly been worn down by feet and narrow carts.
Bought it. It acts just like an eye, but also lets me see through a lot of magic and glamours. It can be a little disorienting at times. I don't wear it to bed or if I'm not doing anything. That's when the patch comes out, explained Dunyasha.
I look forward to seeing it,
Gus said in a low growl as his eyes scanned the open land in front of them. There was a considerable distance between them and the castle, one that would let anyone see them as they closed in on it. There was only one dirt road he could see leading to the front gate.
Of course you'll see it. It's a foregone conclusion, agreed Dunyasha.
Wish I'd brought in Dolly. Completely forgot her. Don't have a firearm at all.
You have me and Yasha,
Jill argued.
Do you really need anything else?
No, I don't. Go search the nearby areas. Make sure we're in the right place.
I understand. If I find people, I'll peek into their thoughts. It's very handy that I'm able to mimic all your abilities. I can't imagine becoming a normal human again,
Jill said.
Yasha,
Gus said, turning to look at her.
Bring out the disc. You and I are going for a look and to see if we can't get in.
Jill's wings snapped out and she took a few steps and then leapt into the air, rapidly vanishing into the sky even as she faded out of view by activating her camouflage.
Of course, Gus,
Dunyasha said, and held out an arm to him. Stepping next to her, he put his arm around Dunyasha's shoulders and pulled her up against his side. Then he curled his arm further around her in a possessive way. Dunyasha wrapped her arm around his waist and then summoned her disc of blood underneath them. Tilting the whole thing, they started to glide forward and up. Gus dropped his camouflage over them once again, hiding them from prying eyes.
I personally like you in your natural boogeyman self. You're a lot more honest with your wants and desires,
said Jill, clearly speaking to how he was feeling rather than thinking. Gus refused to respond to her. Picking up speed as they moved toward the castle, Gus felt more and more like this was the right place. There was a significant presence on the walls, people carrying what were very obviously rifles, most of them with sight addition so that they could clear the long stretch of open ground in front of them. They were also all wearing body armor and helmets. They looked just like the soldiers he'd already encountered.
I'd say this is the place,
Dunyasha whispered as she started banking them around. She brought them up around the wall, then slowly around the tower at the corner and along the next wall. It was more of the same. Looking toward the inner area of the castle, Gus found that it was much more like he'd expected. A majority of it looked very modern, with modern needs for a base in a foreign land, from small storefronts to what looked like a post office.
It's all staged from the outside. Anyone looking at it from this world would think nothing of it. They'd probably shoot anyone and everyone who gets anywhere near it,
Dunyasha said, apparently having seen the same thing he did.
Yeah, definitely seems like that's the case,
Gus said, turning his eyes toward the massive central fortification. It looked like it was made out of stone that matched the walls. Rising up beyond the height of the walls, it had the correct appearance for what one would likely expect for the area. At the top of it were a number of soldiers, all with what looked to be very high-powered sniper rifles.
"Betting Director Eric is in the fort. Maybe at the top?" Dunyasha asked.
"Dunno. So far, they've always burrowed down into the ground,"
countered Gus.
"Putting the princess in the tower seems a bit out of the ordinary for them, doesn't it?"
"So does building a castle with a satellite dish," Dunyasha argued.
Fair point,"
Gus said with a sigh.
"Put us down on the top. We'll sneak in and move lower. And, well, forgive me for this."
Being in such close proximity to the Blood Mage made it easy to push right into her mind. Doing so deliberately and obviously, he moved right into the middle and set up there, just as he'd once done with Jill.
Hello?
Dunyasha asked inside her own mind.
"Easier this way. Now, put us down in the middle. We can take the guards, ransack their minds, and figure out what to do and where to go first."
You haven't been reading my thoughts up to this point, have you?" Dunyasha asked.
"No, I try not to, especially with the people I care about. Idle thoughts, thrown away at whim, are not something that needs to be communicated. Otherwise, we'd all hate each other."
Moving up to the top of the fort, Dunyasha brought the disc down right in the center. There were 8 soldiers up here, 2 at each corner, though the distance between each team of 2 was considerable given the footprint of the tower itself.
"You good? Don't need to eat or anything?"
"What, from them? Never. I'll only drink from you ever onward, Gus. I said I'd be your blood slave, and I meant it. I'm full at the moment, however, but thank you,"
Dunyasha replied.
"Aw, she's so cute. I don't think she's ever been in love. Then again, it's not like I knew what it was either,"
Jill admitted.
"She reminds me of those people who surround themselves with power and prestige. They have no idea how to function normally with other people. I'm sure I can work with her and help her get in touch with a more normal state that'll fit her better."
"Not everyone needs a psychiatrist."
"Actually, it wouldn't hurt if everyone did see one. You'd be surprised how often it's just a question of talking out their thoughts rather than solving problems,"
Jill said.
"Isn't that right, Gus? Sometimes you just have to call someone and talk, even if it's 2 a.m.
Realizing she was talking about his own experiences and calling his mom at weird hours, he couldn't argue the point. She was right. Gus caught Dunyasha's eyes with his own and then head nodded toward one of the teams. They began to creep over, keeping close together on the approach. Reaching them, he realized there was nothing to gain from being so close to them. They weren't talking. There was nothing nearby that would provide him information, and they were simply laying there on their bellies, rifles set up on bipods facing out in different arcs.
Oh well.
Stabbing into their minds, Gus sunk both soldiers into a deep mental slumber, keeping them upright but blanking out their active thoughts. Going through their memories, he found they were Cambians. Nasty ones. This entire fort was filled with those who exhibited aggression and ugly traits beyond the normal expectation. They were put here because of that. Because the population around them might need to be stomped out, used for work, or worse. Having a fort filled with the worst of the worst would give them the ability to do the job they would be ordered to do, regardless of the orders. Unfortunately, these 2 knew very little about what was actually going on in the fort. They'd seen a column arrive with a prisoner, since they were on duty when it had happened, but beyond that, they knew nothing. Their expected duty was to stay here at the top of the fort and shoot anyone they could see who came within range. Establishing the entire fort as a no-go zone for the local inhabitants was priority 1 for them.
"Disgusting. They're a little better than monsters,"
Jill muttered.
"I found a town, by the way. Going into land right now and start looking around."
Snuffing out the minds of the 2 soldiers, Gus wiped them clean. They would do no one any good, and the world was inherently better off without them in it. Turning in place, Gus reached out to the next closest team. After confirming they knew nothing more than the first team had, he simply removed them from their own minds, separating them as if they were attached by a string. Since they were all laying down, it wouldn't be immediately obvious to anyone that something had changed up here. Focusing on the third team, he'd once more checked to see if they had anything to add to what he knew, then ripped them free. The last team went in the exact same way.
Okay, that's all of them,
Gus said, looking at Dunyasha.
I didn't kill them. They're just, never going to wake up. Do you want their blood?
Dunyasha smiled at him, revealing very bright fangs.
Oh, why, thank you, Gus. That's a lovely gift, said the blood mage.
Holding her hand up to the two nearby soldiers, she made a clawing motion. Exiting their eyes, ears, and mouths, blood began to spray out of them in a torrent.
Oh, this is so much easier when they're alive and not fighting, Dunyasha murmured. I think I should stay up here. I can provide information as well as tactical assistance to what's going on out here. It would also let you move quicker. As much as I like the idea of sticking close,